As long as you're two, you won't be one. And until you're one, you'll never have dominion.
Dr. Tony Evans says husbands and wives have to be united in order to exercise the spiritual authority God gave them.
When you're operating as one, now prayers are getting answered because now you're ruling as God intended you to rule.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. A divided home can be a miserable place to live, but Dr. Evans says that's only the beginning of the trouble when a husband and wife won't work together under God's authority. Our primary passage comes from Genesis chapter 2, so have that ready as Dr. Evans sets up today's teaching.
Psalm 115, verse 16 says that God rules in the heavens, but he has given the earth to the sons of men to rule. The implications of that are staggering. Because what it means is that God has decided to respect your decisions, and that much of his action will be determined by our action. While he has maintained a base of sovereign boundaries, a sphere where he will not allow man to trespass on, he has opened up a field of play where we get to call the particular play and he will respond accordingly. That explains a whole lot. It explains why God allows, how can a good God, a great God, a powerful God allow that to happen? Because let them rule. I will respect within my sovereign boundaries their decisions. God planted Adam in a garden. He planted in the sphere of his calling. From every tree of the garden you may freely eat. The essence of your Christian life should be measured by what you get to enjoy, not what you are denied of. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Now, God has spent the whole week talking about what's good. He created the light, it's good. He created the animals, it's good. It's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And now he comes to a place in his creation where he says, it's not good. There's one thing missing in this creation, and that is Adam is alone. That's not good. Adam was created first on purpose. The Bible says that. We're going to look at the passages. It says Adam is created first. Why? Because he was supposed to be head of the home. He was supposed to be the head in the church. Bible says that. Says he was created to be head. So before woman was created, God created him and set him straight underneath God. He was to be subordinate underneath God. She was to be subordinate underneath him. He was to be, watch this now, subordinate underneath God. You're getting ready to see that. She was supposed to be subordinate, unequal to him, but when it came to function, subordinate underneath him. She was to be equal to him, male and female, but when it came to function, like Jesus is to the Father, subordinate to him. Now here's the kicker. The subordination of the woman under the man was tied to the subordination of the man underneath God. If the man refused to be subordinate underneath God, it would show up in the rebellion of the woman and her refusal to be subordinate underneath him. There is a process of subordination that allows rulership to occur. Because the man is created first. Out of the ground, God forms every beast of the field, every bird of the sky. He brings them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. He gives him the cattle and the birds of the sky and every beast of the field. Naming involved exercising dominion over the creation underneath the creator, because God brought it. So it starts with God. It was given to man and man names it. Verse 20 says, however, but for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So he sees Mr. and Mrs. Bear, Mr. and Mrs. Zebra, Mr. and Mrs., you know, Aardvark, Mr. and Mrs. Roach. He sees Mr. and Mrs., because all the animals are created at the same time. So he's watching this come along. He's just naming them and naming them, and everybody's paired up. But for Adam, what did God do before he made Eve? He let Adam see what he was missing. In other words, a need had to be created before a woman would have been made, because the woman was to help him. And so God uses this naming, this dominion calling, in order for him to name. So he evaluates, he assigns the proper name in order to bring creation under his control. The name stuck. Whatever he named them, that was its name. Now watch this, ladies. The Lord God, once he realizes he can't do this by himself, causes Adam to go to sleep. I love this phrase. So the Lord God, verse 21, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. If God puts you to sleep, you gonna sleep. Then he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh at that place and fashioned a woman from the rib which he had taken from the man. God performs surgery. He slits Adam's side and takes the side away. Adam right now is only half the man he used to be, because a big part of him is missing. While he was single, he had both ribs. Now that he's married, a rib is gone. A side, this cavity has been removed. And God fashions the woman. God took his rib and he crafted a woman from the rib. Now, if Adam wants his rib back, if he wants what he's lost, he's got to get it from the woman, because the woman has it. But the woman, if he's going to get his rib back, is bringing more back than he lost. Because he lost a piece of him, but God took a piece of him and made a whole something new that was a lot like him, but different from him. Hot and cold are alike because they're both temperatures, but they're distinct and different. Red and yellow are alike because they're both colors, but they're distinctly different. Man and woman are alike because they're part of mankind, human, but distinctly different. He was to get back his rib, and in getting back his rib, he was to get back more than he started with. Remember, the idea is a helper. So God took part of him and made more in her, so that when he brought her to him, there would be an asset he did not have when he started. So he made the woman and brought her to man. So God is in the matchmaking business. He's playing Cupid here, because he goes, the man is asleep. He goes, makes a woman and brings the woman. Ladies, she wakes up. The first thing she sees is God. She doesn't know anything about Adam. She's an adult woman. The first thing she sees is God. She doesn't say, oh, I'm 25 and I'm not married yet. No. She puts her hand, watch this now, in God's hand. And it says, God brought her to Adam. You don't have to go clubbing to find him. You don't have to get on the internet and see who am I like. You don't have to do all that. All you got to do is put your hand in the hand of the one who God knows that rib belongs to him. Because you start searching for your own ribs, and you're going to find yourself in a mess. The Lord God fashions a woman with the rib and brings her to man. Some of the places you ladies are going to look for men, I'm going to talk about that, man. If the key to the man is your being able to help him fulfill his calling unto God. If that's the key, everything else is a bonus from that key. Then you want to find a man who has that as a concern. And if the places you go in to find him does not have that as part of the concern of that environment, you're in the wrong location and are delaying the hookup to the right man. And you're going to wind up with either nobody or the wrong man who's messing over you, beating you, cussing you out, disrespecting you, dishonoring you. But you got one.
Dr. Evans will have more on what a God-centered relationship ought to look like when he continues this message from a compilation dealing with one of the most requested topics ever. It's called Marriage Matters, and it covers practical issues like finances and communication, as well as digging into the spiritual roots of the marriage covenant, dealing with the spiritual side of sexuality, and laying the groundwork for a real family revival. We'd like to send you the complete 14-lesson collection on CD or digital download so you can explore these important topics with your spouse or small group Bible study. Just contact us by phone or online, make a contribution, and we'll send you a copy of all the messages in this 2-volume series with our thanks and appreciation. And for a limited time, we'll also send you 3 of Tony's popular booklets covering more of these message topics in a quick-to-read, easy-to-digest format. You'll receive Marriage Matters, For Married Men Only, and For Married Women Only, along with all the full-length messages from the Marriage Matters audio series. Just visit TonyEvans.org to get the ball rolling, or call our resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. Any time of the day or night. I'll repeat that contact information for you again after Dr. Evans returns with more of today's lesson, right after this.
I'm standing here in Alaska, one of the most glorious places in God's great creation, and I want to invite you to join me in our urban alternative family for the Alaskan Cruise. We're going to have a magnificent time in God's Word and in God's creation. We're going to enjoy great fellowship, great fun, great food, and I'm looking forward to meeting and greeting you on our TUA Alaskan Cruise. Register to be there. Can't wait to be with you.
To find out more about this unforgettable Alaskan cruise, visit TonyEvans.org today. That's TonyEvans.org.
What did God do before he made Eve? He let Adam see what he was missing. In other words, a need had to be created before a woman would have been made, because the woman was to help him. And so God uses this naming, this dominion calling, in order for him to name. So he evaluates, he assigns the proper name in order to bring creation under his control. The name stuck. Whatever he named them, that was its name. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. She takes Adam's name. Adam's name means man. She's man taken out of Adam's womb. So he calls her womb man. Guess what he does? Name her. What he named her became her name, because it is the role of a man to name his woman. And to name his woman is not only nomenclature, it is to exercise governance over. As long as the man is underneath God, it is to exercise authority, legitimate authority over. So if that woman is not willing to come under your leadership, and your leadership is legitimate, if you're single, that's not, I don't care how pretty she is, you're gonna be pretty miserable. If she does not willing to come under your authority and respect your authority, what do we call God? We call him Lord. What does the Bible say in 1 Peter 3 that a woman should call her husband? Lord. The same name that we as men use to God, a woman is supposed to be able to use to her husband, but the idea is she doesn't mind using it because you're governing so good. You're governing so well. You're leading so strongly. You're directing so clearly. But if she's not willing to do that, then you're in for a war, World War III. Now, the other side is true. She won't submit. Has it ever been illustrated to her? Because you're supposed to be modeling the submission you're demanding. So, he says, this is bone of my bone. Now we have the nuptials, first wedding ceremony. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Please notice it's the man leaving his mother or father. There is nothing said about a woman leaving her mother and father. And in this particular context, there is no mother and father. Adam doesn't have a mother and a father. So evidently, Adam was real impressed with Eve because he said, if I had one, I'd leave her for her. God goes out and he fashions this magnificent specimen called woman. A man is supposed to leave his father and mother. Now, what does this mean, to leave your father and mother? The word cleave means to bond or stick like glue. That's what cleave means. In other words, his priority attachment and his priority relationship is to be his wife. Now, let me make sure we all understand. He's not to dishonor his mother and father. One of the commandments is to honor your mother and father. That includes how you talk to them. That includes financially supporting them if that's needed. You are to honor your mother and father. But what you are not to do is place the relationship of mother and father over husband and wife. Now, the man is to leave mother and father. He's to cleave to his wife. And here we are, here we are. This could be a whole sermon here. And the two shall become one flesh. And the two shall become one flesh. And the two shall become one flesh. When a woman gets pregnant, a sperm infiltrates an egg. In fact, there's a race on to see who gets there first. Because everybody's headed toward this one direction, to penetrate the egg so that something new is brought into existence. Stick with me here. The two, egg and sperm, become one, and out of the one, something comes into existence that's never, ever existed before. When the two become one, just like in a pregnancy or conception, the same principle is true. The reason most marriages today are in trouble is the two don't want to become one, refuse to become one, so they function as two while living as one. In other words, they still occupy the same space. They sleep in the same bed. They go to the same house. They eat at the same table, but not as one. They do it as two. But the purpose of marriage wasn't for two to stay two. It was for two to become something that never, ever existed before, and that is one. You hear it in all kinds of ways. This is my money. This is her money. This is my car. This is her car. This is my her. They talk in terms of two. Now, I'm not talking about having different accounts for different things. I'm talking about a mindset that is two. As long as you're two, you won't be one. And until you're one, you'll never have dominion. You'll never rule, because Satan will always be able to block the rule, because whenever there is division, the Bible says God steps out of it. And when God steps out of it, you can't pray about it. You can't do any of that. You must decide as a couple, we are going to be one. Now, that doesn't mean males become females and females become males. It means that we're going to operate on the same page. We're going to be one. Since your salary and my salary make our money one, we will talk about having our bills paid by us. And as part of that, you have some spending money and I have some spending money, but that has come out of an agreement that we have made, because the goal here is one, not trying to make two work. So we spend all of this time trying to make two work when God is not interested in two. He's interested in one. He's interested in a sperm getting into an egg, creating something that has never, ever existed before. The problem today is that people don't want one flesh. They want two flesh and wonder why they can't have one marriage. You can't. And so people are getting divorced over ridiculous reasons today. In fact, this principle is so powerful. Malachi 2 says, I created them one spirit. By the way, there's three parts to this. Body, soul, and spirit, okay? Body, that's mutual attraction, physically. That's the first attraction, because that's the first thing you see. Then there's soul attraction, okay? That's personality. That means you jive with her personality. She jives with your personality. You have shared interests, shared intellectual orientation. You can talk about the same kind of things. And so shared, you can feel each other. People call it having a soul mate. Okay? That's a soul connection, all right? Then there is spiritual. That's a shared faith. The spiritual is the most important. You're ultimately looking for a spirit mate. Because the souls, even if they're compatible, they're still different, and the body gets old. Body gets old. So, I mean, you're putting too much weight on something that ain't gonna last that long. Because however good you look in the 20s, give me 20 years. And all that's gonna change anyway. He says, and the two shall become one flesh. Because oneness produces dominion. That's why he says in 1 Peter 3:7, if the husband is not studying his wife like Adam studied the animals and came to a naming conclusion, if a husband is not studying his wife, know what she ticks, know her moods, can think her thoughts before she thinks them, because he has studied them. And you can't study somebody you aren't talking to. You can't study somebody you're not around. You can't study somebody who you're not hanging out with. He says, when a husband studies his wife, if he does not relate to her based on that study, tell him not to pray, for I will not hear his prayers. The converse is true. When you're operating as one and you go to God as one, you rule as one. Now prayers are getting answered. God comes into history and begins to turn things and changes things and flip things and flop things. Here's what we're saying, that you've been created to rule. And there comes a time when God decides you're no longer to rule alone. Once you are married, you are to rule two, becoming one. And then you will see the power of God double, because you're operating his way.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about what it takes for husbands and wives to reclaim their spiritual authority at home, part of his current series called Marriage Matters. If you'd like to review this lesson on your own, including content we didn't have time to present on the air, full-length copies are available on CD or MP3. The title to ask about is Dominion and Marriage. And don't forget, if you contact us right away, it'll come to you as our gift, as part of that 2-volume collection of messages, Marriage Matters. All we ask is that you make a donation to help the ministry keep this program coming each day. And as a special added bonus, we'll include Marriage Matters for Married Men Only and for Married Women Only, 3 popular booklets Tony's written on these important topics. Get all the details and make the arrangements when you visit us online at tonyevans.org. Once again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call our resource request line at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are standing by to assist with your request day and night. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. As far back as the Garden of Eden, Satan's been using family conflict as a weapon against us. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will show how to tear down the strongholds the enemy has set up in your home. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.